I first started out as a pastor there in southwest Oklahoma. I found myself oftentimes sitting in the little office that I had, dreaming about what I was going to do when I got to a bigger situation in a larger church. I was attending a conference about that time, and it's like the preacher had kind of been reading my mail. You ever had that happen to you? And he said, some of you guys are sitting around dreaming about what you're going to do when you get to a bigger church. And I thought, oh no, man, what's this dude about to do to me? And he said, but one thing you need to realize, you can't serve God where you're not. And I thought, yeah, I guess he's right. So I made a commitment there that I was going to go back to the First Baptist Church of Gould, Oklahoma, and I was going to build that to be the finest church on the planet. And in that next year, I made personal visits to every home in the community, plus the outlying areas. And in that year, we baptized over 10% of the community population. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but now if we did that in Forney, I think it'd be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Anyway, I didn't realize at the time, but what I was doing is that church was proving ground. And I was proving that God could trust me with that size church, and if he could trust me with that one, he could trust me with bigger things. And if he couldn't trust me with the little things, he wouldn't be able to trust me with the bigger ones. So I'm fully convinced that I'm not taking care of business at the little place, then you wouldn't be looking at me today. I would be somewhere else, and there would be someone else here. So the title of the message today is Bigger Things. I ask you to find Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 30. And I'm going to make an assumption this morning. My assumption is that everybody in here wants the bigger things. You want God's hand to be on you. You want God to bless you. You want God to do great things in your life. And you want to see God at work in you. And I'm just assuming that everybody would want that. You'd want the big blessings that God would desire to bring into your life. And it is a great question that deserves an honest answer. And that is, how can I obtain great blessings in my life that God could obviously give to whoever and to whenever he would desire to give those? And so Jesus Christ answers the question in the text today. The title of the message is Bigger Things. Notice what he said beginning in verse 10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, I will tell you, to God, the little things is the stuff of the world. The big things are stuff that only he can give. And so here's this thought. If you have not been faithful with the common blessings that come to human beings, then you are not going to be faithful if I were to give you the big things. And so since you're not faithful with the little stuff, I'm not going to give you the big stuff. On the other hand, if you're faithful with the little stuff, he says that is proof to me that you'll also be faithful with the big stuff. And so if God gives you a firecracker and you don't handle the firecracker correctly, he's not going to give you an atomic bomb. When my sons, James and John, were young, they were little, both of them under 10 years of age, I bought them BB guns. And I said, boys, I'm giving you these BB guns. And I want you to be smart with them. I want you to use them wisely. And I'm going to trust you with the BB guns. Great. Thanks, Dad. We dropped them off at their grandpa's house. Strangely enough, about 20-something Christmas lights blew up around their house. Grandpa's tractor got 23 BB holes in the radiator. Look at the green stuff. To top it off, James said, John, stand still, dropped to his knee and shot him in the chest. The only time Grandpa whipped James was that day. I didn't find out till years later when the boys were too big for me to do anything about it. And so there with the BB guns, they're not quite ready for a deer rifle. So if they handle the BB guns well, then they're getting ready. And so God says, I'm giving you some common blessings. I'm giving you BB guns. If you don't tear up stuff, if you don't shoot one another with them, then it's proof that I can trust you with the bigger stuff. Playing golf one day with a bunch of preachers, and one of our guys hit his off up in the woods. Now, when I play golf, I don't hit in the woods. Anyway, he's up in the woods, and we're out there listening, and he's up in there whacking away, man. Wham, bang, we heard him swing and hit, and he never did curse, but he had some bad thoughts, I'm sure. So we're out in the fairway, we're thinking, you know, and I just tell you, if you're playing golf with somebody and they're having a really bad hole, you act like you really hate that form, but really you're thinking, yes, that's good. So he finally gets out of the woods, knocks it up on the green. We're standing around the green, said, well, what are you putting for? He said, I'm putting for a par. You know what? I never believed anything that guy said from that point forward. And you know what? He's not in ministry anymore. Man, if you can't tell the truth, even in golf, you know, all golfers lie a little bit and cheat a little bit. And that's expected because that's the nature of that game. It is. If there's a tree in the way, you don't move the tree, you move the ball. And so if you can't be trusted in a little thing, God says, I'm not going to trust you in the big ones. Now, my message today is not really complicated. But man, it is loaded with truth. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so here's the deal. We want God to give us the big stuff, even when we're not being faithful with the little stuff. And we expect God to give us the big blessings, even when we're not being faithful with the little ones. And so what I want to do today is talk to you first of all about some bigger things. Some of the big things that we really would love to have in our lives. And then I want to talk to you about some of the little things that we all have control over, with which we need to prove to God He can trust us with bigger things. I was at the men's retreat this past weekend. I was sitting across the table from a guy. He's a great old big guy, and he's involved in some ministry stuff. And he said back after he had gotten saved, he knew God wanted him to do some ministry stuff, but man, he had nothing, no opportunities. He had nothing. He said, so he started preaching to his couch. He laughed. He said, wasn't that crazy? I said, I don't know if it's crazy or not. He said, he started preaching to his couch. It's all he had. I don't know if you can get a couch saved or not. Maybe you can bring it under conviction. I don't know, but he's preaching to his couch. Well, he said, you know, that's all I had to do. It wasn't anywhere else. Preached to the couch. And he started getting calls of opportunities to do stuff. And so it's kind of a illustration of what we're talking about. Faithful in the little things, so God will bring in the big things. Well, some big things. Let me suggest one. One, I would say, is just having pleasure in Christ. Just knowing Him on a deep, intimate level. Walking with Him through life. Having Him speak to you, you speak to Him. Trusting Him. Just enjoying a walk with Jesus Christ. Knowing how God works, recognizing what He wants to do, just having an intimate walk with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, that is a big thing. I think about Abraham. You remember the angels came by, they're on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And one of them says to the other, "Should we tell Abraham what we're about to do?" And they said, "Yeah, let's tell him because he's proved to be faithful." And so they told him. And then Abraham started praying for the people at Sodom and Gomorrah. You remember? He had that intimate walk with God, and so he got in on some of the secrets of God. And Jesus Christ would give us that kind of an intimate walk. I will tell you, that is a big thing. Another big thing we all want are proper relationships. Now, I will tell you this. If the relationships in your life are good, then your life's good, no matter what else is happening. But if the relationships in your life are not good, then it doesn't matter what happens. Your life is not good. If husband and wife, listen, if that relationship is good, it doesn't matter what comes your way. You're going to be fine. You're going to be good. Relationship between parents and children, man, if that's a good relationship, man, all is well. We want good relationship with neighbors, good relationship with coworkers. Good relationships with our church family. And I'm telling you, if our relationships are all good, man, our life is just awesome. But man, when you get those relationships out of whack, it doesn't matter what happens. There's always a cloud that's over your life. And so that's a big thing. We really would love for the Lord to give us that big thing. A third thing that we'd want is a powerful prayer life. Don't we want God to hear us when we pray? To answer us when we pray? To do stuff as we're praying for stuff? I'll tell you, there's some people that I know that when they pray, God, man, listens to them and does stuff. And when something's coming up, I go to those people and I say, "Hey, I got a deal coming up. Will you pray for me?" And so answered prayer. Man, can you put a value on that? Wouldn't you love to have that big thing in your life? Man, that's better than an atomic bomb. But you got to take care of the firecracker before you get it. Could God trust you by saying your prayers are going to be answered? Or would He said, "Okay, I'm going to answer all your prayers. Would all of you show up next week in a Lamborghini?" And so, answered prayers. That's a big thing, man. That's a powerful thing. And then, peace and contentment. Wouldn't that be awesome to have? Just the ability to live your life with a deep, abiding sense of joy that you are content, you are at peace, you are balanced, all is fine if nothing else comes into your life, all is fine if you lose stuff. Because the stuff's all the little things. I will tell you, the world in all of its glory cannot deliver on peace and contentment. It just does not have the ability to do that. It promises you that it can, but it can't deliver. And so that is a really big thing. If you're looking for that today, I'm telling you, you can find it in Jesus Christ. And then there's a fifth thing I would put here, and that is purpose and power. Everybody's been put on the earth for a reason. God has a purpose for you. And it is a really big thing when you discover what that purpose is. And when you discover what that purpose is, a lot of your life starts to fall into place. And along with discovering your purpose, God gives you the power to pull it off. It's an incredible, beautiful, big thing that God would have us to receive. It is a powerful thing. And God says, if you take care of the little stuff, this is one of the big things that I'll trust you with. I can remember way back in my life, I used to pray, God, would you show me your power and pour your power out on me? Have any of you ever prayed that kind of prayer? It's a great prayer. I used to pray it all the time. And I was reading a book, and they had a little caption underneath the chapter number, and it was a quote from a guy that said, I used to ask God to show me his power. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, that's what I'm praying for. And then the next line said, then God spoke and said, with plans no bigger than yours, you don't need much of my power. Man, how about that? So I said, man, Lord, I get it. I'm not waiting for the power to fall. I'm going to plan big and go for it, and let's see what the power does. Transforming, it's a big thing. Purpose and power in life. Wouldn't it be great to know why God puts you on the planet? And then here's one I kind of put in because I really like it. Propositional truth. Isn't it good to know that there's some stuff that's just true and it's never going to change? And it's going to be true today. It's going to be true tomorrow. Not going to change anybody's mind. Nobody's plans will change. It is absolute truth. We find that in the Bible, and that is a big thing, a gift that God gives us to be able to relate and understand the Bible as being absolute truth. Now, I'm assuming that everybody in here would like to have those six things I just laid out. And so the way that we get the big things, that could be the atomic bomb, that could be the deer rifle. But we got to deal with the firecrackers, right? And the BB guns, right? And so, with that in mind, I'd like for us to spend a couple moments talking about some of the little things. These are things that every person in the room has within your sphere. And if we handle the little things right, then God is going to begin trusting us with the bigger things. So I'm telling you, this is not rocket science, right? I mean, this is pretty basic truth, but if you grab this, it can revolutionize your life. So let's talk about some of the little things. One, everybody has influence. Influence means that you are impacting the way other people's lives, you're impacting what they do, how they live. The word influence means getting caught up in somebody's flow. And so there are people who are getting caught up into your flow. And if that influence is pushing them away from Christ, you're not handling the BB gun very well. If somebody gets caught up in your flow and it's pointing them toward Jesus Christ, then you're proving to God, with my influence, I'm going to serve and honor you. And then God will give you more influence to impact more people. And so influence. Leverage your influence to impact people for Christ. Now some people will say, the way I influence people is by the way I live. And that's great. But it's not good enough. You got to put words to it to explain to them why you live like you do. And that's what influence is. Living it and speaking it. And when we do that, when people get caught up in our flow, then we're taking care of a little thing. And everybody's got some influence here in the room. Now, I want to take a really brief side street for just a moment. We're coming to a really incredible moment in the life of our church. Easter's coming up. You realize that? Just a little bit. And we're going into this new building pretty soon. There will never be an easier time for any of us to just invite somebody to come to church with us. I mean, all it would be was, hey, Easter's coming. Would you come to church with me? We're going into a new building. It's going to be really awesome. Would you come? And look, everybody kind of wants to go to church on Easter. You know that, right? That's when you get all those CEOs in church. Christmas and Easter only. And so use your influence, especially right now. and see what God might do. There are a lot of people who are intimidated by church. They're intimidated by going in there where they don't know anybody. And so, waiting for an invitation. And so, listen, if you do decide to do this, and I encourage you to, don't invite people that go to church somewhere else. We are not a church that's trying to steal other churches' people. Now, there are churches that try to do that, and they call that church growth. It's really church steal. And then they brag about how many church members they stole from somebody else. Invite people who are non-believers, who don't go to church. You know them. Some of them live by you. Some of them work with you. And just go out on a limb. You say, well, people don't like that. Yes, they do. Will you do that? No, you ain't going to do it. Yeah, you will. You'll do it. I'm confident you're going to do it. Influence. It's a little thing that leads to a big thing. Second thing is intellect. You say intellect. I said, yeah, because, listen, whether you know it or not, every one of you has a brain. Some of you have half a brain, but most of you have a brain. And listen, you're intelligent. You are creative. You're leveraging that intelligence and that creativity, and you're in the midst of a very successful career. And man, you're making it happen. And so, why don't you take the same creativity and the same intellect and bring that into your Bible study group and say, you know what, let's put together a plan that will allow us to really enrich our fellowship, enrich our Bible study, enrich our outreach to reach more people for Christ. Why don't you use all the stuff that you use to push your career forward to push forward something for God? That's a little thing. But I want to tell you, when God sees somebody like that, He's going to start blessing them with the bigger things. Our intellect. Begin to read your Bible. That will help your intellect develop. Don't start in Leviticus. Like go to Psalm or Proverbs or one of the Gospels. You know, we're signing up to read through the Bible. I didn't sign up for those early ones because I don't want to get stuck reading about mold in the house. Some of y'all are going to have to read that. I'm not making fun of the Bible. I'm just telling you, it's kind of hard. And so as you develop your mind, I'm going to tell you, it's going to translate into the way that you live. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so, develop the intellect. It's a little thing, and we can all do that. And then, involvement. Involvement. You know, one of the first things you look for when you're looking for church leaders, you look for people who show up. And so, show up for worship, for Bible study, and find a niche of ministry. Something. In our church, there's something you can do in ministry, somewhere, somehow. Now, think about that guy that was an old redneck guy, wasn't too sharp. Boy, he got saved, and I mean, he got saved to the bone. He went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I want to do something for God. And the pastor thought, man, I don't know what this guy can do. So he kept putting him off, putting him off. The guy wouldn't let up, stayed on him. So finally, he took the guy in there to his ministry assistant, and he said, give this guy a list of church members who hadn't been in a while, give him their address, give him some church letterhead and envelopes, and so you write them notes, tell them we've been missing them, and invite them to come back. Fine. About a week later, the pastor got a note in the mail from one of the prominent guys in town. He said, Dear Pastor, please forgive me for not being in church the past few months. I assure you, I will be there this Sunday and every Sunday from this point forward that I can. Here's a $10,000 check to kind of make up for what I hadn't been giving. I'll catch up soon. And then he said, please tell your secretary, your assistant, that there are two L's in the word yellow and no C in the word skunk. Some of y'all got that. Others, you'll get it later in the day. And so I tell you that to just tell you that everybody can find something. Everybody has a gift God's given you to use. And if you're not using that, you're not taking care of the little thing, God says, I'm not going to give you the big thing. I mean, it's basic, right? You got the BB gun in your hand, but if you're not using it right, I got this rifle waiting, but I'm not going to give it to you. There's one other. If you were in Bible study today, you got a little bit of that. And that's income. Income. I hope that went okay. In that video, you had one of the most scholarly teachers. Smartest, probably. By far the best looking one. Actually, we tried to get that guy and I had to do it. But just listen, doesn't it make sense? If God is trusting you with this amount of money and He wants you to leverage that for Him, but you leverage it for you, is He going to arrange it where you get more? I'm just asking. It makes sense to me, doesn't it to you? Now, some folks will say, you know what, I'm going to start giving when I get more money. No, you won't. If you're not faithful in the little, you won't be faithful in a lot. That's what He said. And so, now I'm not telling you, you start giving and God's going to make you rich. He might. I really believe when God finds somebody He can trust with lots of money, He gives them lots of money. Because they put it where He wants it to go. But I am telling you that if you are faithful in how you use money, that's a big part of that passage I read. Then you're telling God, you can trust me with stuff, and then He's going to give you the true riches. It's a very basic concept, very basic. And so really, it's in our hands. So if you tell me, Brother Jim, I want God to bring the big things into my life. Man, I want the blessed relationships. I want the power, the answered prayer. I want to know Jesus very intimately. I really want the big thing, the power, spiritual power. I want these big things. Then I would just say to you, prove yourself to be faithful in these little things. And when you prove yourself to be faithful in the little things, God says, I'm going to begin to trust you with bigger stuff. So we come to the close today. You got influence, intellect, involvement, income, little stuff. Would you make a commitment just to say, God, I want to begin to show you that you can trust me in the little stuff, and then I'm just going to see what you do on the big stuff. And you might be absolutely astounded and amazed. So we're going to have the final song of the morning. It's a time of praise and worship. It's also an invitation. And the primary invitation is if you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is a time for you to do that. In fact, if you don't do that, then nothing I've said today really has any meaning at all. But if you make that commitment, then everything else will kind of start to make sense. And God has orchestrated you to be here today, and this can be your great day. While we're singing, if you've never put your faith in Christ, you'd like to know Him as I have described, would you make your way to one of our staff? We'll go to a private place, and we'll introduce you to Jesus Christ. It may be today that you are a believer, you know Him, but if you were to be really honest, you would have to say, well, I've kind of fallen back a little bit in my relationship, my life with Jesus. And you need to make a recommitment and just say, God, I've kind of fallen away and I want to get back in the groove. Then maybe you want to come and just kneel on the steps and pray. You could do that where you are, but kind of has more power if you come and pray. That could be a great thing. If you're a guest with us today, we are so glad that you're here. And it would be wonderful for you to become a part of our church family. We would love for that to happen. So if that would be you, make your way to one of our staff. We'll talk with you about that and we'll make that happen. And so today, let's all of us Just rise up and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be faithful to you and all this little stuff. And I shall see what you do. Because, Lord, I want you to be able to trust me with the big stuff. And so, God's got a really nice 30-30 for everybody. Maybe a 30-06. But you got to handle that BB gun well first. He got a big old bomb for you. But you got to take care of the firecracker. Had a wonderful church for me. First Baptist, where's that? Forney. But I had to be faithful there in Gould, Oklahoma. Faithful in little, faithful in much. Unfaithful in little, unfaithful in much. Let's make that happen. Let's stand together as we worship. Invite you to make your way to the front for any of the reasons I outlined or any other thing. You need prayer. You need somebody to stand with you in prayer to help you. Please feel free to come. God bless you as we worship. You can